This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yesterday, a lot of conversation was, I mean, it was a star-studded event. You had Deshaun Watson talking yesterday. You had Kevin Stefanski talking yesterday. Both had to speak about Amari Cooper. He's no longer here. He has flown the coop, Tone. Nothing?
Okay.
All right, we're moving on. Yeah. Then on the show, you had Albert Breer in the afternoon. Not on our show, but on Afternoon Drive. You had Albert Breer. You had Mike Sando, Ross Tucker, everybody came into Cleveland or Cleveland Radio to speak about these Cleveland Browns. And thank God Kevin got to be asked about Nick Chubb so he could wax poetically about one of the all-time great Browns. I mean, what we witnessed there is one of the all-time great Browns who's ever played. Boy, I wonder where he would rank in a top 10. I don't want to do that now, but let that percolate with everybody. If you were going to rank the all-time Browns, where does Nick Chubb rank? Because they've had a lot of great offensive players. Defensively, like Myles Garrett, you're seeing the best defensive player in Browns history in Myles Garrett. But with Nick, all right, where does he rank among the greatest? Because they've had some really great offensive players for their football team. But then there was obviously the conversation that was going on around Deshaun Watson. And you had something you had noticed. And it wasn't even from what Kevin had said or what Deshaun Watson had said. Tone, you took something from Albert Breer yesterday on Afternoon Drive. Take
it away. Yeah, because we've kind of alluded to this from one of the first games Deshaun Watson had played. And we never know. We're not behind the scenes. We're not really watching practice. They don't even really allow media to watch the practice in its entirety. So we never know how the interactions are between coaching staff and the players. But I found this really interesting hearing Albert Breer doing his weekly yesterday on the afternoon show, because maybe confirmed what I already thought is a little too strong, but it's leaning into being a pretty accurate representation of how I felt this was going all along.
I really hope that someone's also having hard conversations with Deshaun Watson on all of this, because, you know, they tiptoed around a lot of stuff with him. Like, I know, like, one of the reasons he was so successful in Houston early on is because they took a real tough love approach with him. They had his trust. They were hard on him, and there was a lot of growth because of it. I do wonder, are they being hard enough on Deshaun himself? Because I think right now that's what he needs.
Kenny, it's something that we have talked about on this show, but we don't know. We're not there. We only see the product on the field. And sometimes it's dangerous to draw direct lines, to just assume because the outcome is one way that they're doing something wrong another way. But I imagine Albert Breer didn't concoct that out of thin air. He is somebody who has a lot of agent friends in the league. He's somebody that has people in every building in the league, and for him to openly wonder like that, are they coaching Deshaun Watson? Are they telling him what he needs to hear? Are they giving him tough love? Are they really doing that? Because we've kind of suggested that we don't know if he is.
Well, you can't. Some guys aren't always going to be pushed by quote-unquote tough love. Like, what's tough love? Like, everybody says they like to be coached hard, and then a lot of people in practice
don't like to be coached
hard.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady is the toughest love for so many. The first 10 years,
yes.
Brady said he was miserable. He said they would sit there and agonize over footwork, every last drop of it. Now, maybe the last 10 years, Brady kind of got away with what he wanted to get away with his trainers and everything. But the actual coaching, I mean, Bill was hard on Tom Brady. Are the Browns hard? on Deshaun Watson, the way they talk about Deshaun,
no.
They don't treat him as the worst, statistically the worst quarterback over the last 5 years.
Do they need to be hard on him, though?
Yes.
Do they? No. Why do you want him to be hard on him?
Why would I want a coach to be hard on a player
Why do you want the Browns to be hard on Deshaun Watson? Why do you want that?
Well, I'd like them to be fair on a quarterback, and if the quarterback's not doing what he's being coached, mm-hmm. then you got to be hard on the coach on the player.
Okay.
And he clearly is not running the offense. But if he can't run the offense a fraction of what Joe Flacco could at times, DTR, PJ Walker. I didn't even know his name. And yet
TJ Hooker.
And yet I feel better about the way they coached him than they coached Deshaun Watson.
All right.
Like, yeah, they're not being hard on him, and they need to be hard on him.
That's specifically the point. That's why you have to wonder who is making the decision to start this man. So let me point this out to you. I'm not fighting you yet, all right? This ain't a fight. Not yet, anyway. You want him to coach him hard. What if he just doesn't respond to that? I said it before. Does he or does he not look like a basket case out there?
Yeah.
So me yelling at him, is that going to make anything better? Me getting red-faced and vitriolic with him, is that going to make the situation any better?
So basically saying there's no way to coach him what you're saying. There's no way to get through to him.
There may not be that possibility to it. Like, that's what... Like, remember Charles Robinson last week? We played that audio of him on Pro Football Talk, and there were a couple of things that were said back when they first went and got him that we didn't really want to discuss because it was uncomfortable at that time, where, boy, he's looking over to the sidelines during practice and looking to Bill O'Brien, and maybe Bill O'Brien was covering some things more than what we really thought he was covering. Like, that was one of the big discussions that Charles Robinson had put out there last week. So now you move on to this week, and Albert Breer's asking this, and I'm thinking, if you know you don't have a choice in the matter to sit him, or you know that he is not going to, and he's not going to respond positively to quote-unquote tough coaching, whatever that may be, because you can yell, but you have to teach. That's what people get mixed up on. You got to be able to teach. You can get loud, but you have to be able to get through, because if you're not teaching, then you're just yelling and nobody's getting any better. So that tough coaching, quote-unquote, is he going to respond to that, or is this just a fruitless enterprise all the way through? Yes.
Does the tough coaching and him responding or not matter when you're 1-5? Who cares? Coach him tough.
No. But that's
like,
the point.
If he's not going to respond to the tough coaching, who cares? You're 1-5. You got to try something.
But that's the point. Maybe they've tried it already. They might have tried it already. And if it ain't going to go through and you have no choice but
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Play this guy.
Well, we know.
Like, I don't have answers.
If they tried it already, would we be hearing stuff like this from Albert Breer?
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
No, I don't. Kenny.
Why wouldn't you?
I got to be honest.
Albert Breer said he doesn't think they're coaching him, right?
The way they've talked about Deshaun Watson from day one here, and I illustrated it, and I got made fun of at the time, but when they gave him a game ball for the win against Washington when he threw for 160 yards, completed eight passes, he was terrible that game. He got a game ball for it.
So
they have been walking on eggshells to prop this decision up for the better part of 2.5 years.
Guys, where's Alex Van Pelt at right now?
New England?
Did he try it? Did he try it? Was there a moment maybe last year? This is speculating. Nobody's told me a word. I will be open and honest about that. I know we like to leave Easter eggs out there. Was there a point where maybe something was said and there was some frustration involved where it's like, hey, man, we got this 30-something-year-old QB that used to play for the Ravens that used to be good. It's off the trash pile right now, quote-unquote, coming off the couch, and he's out there throwing for 300 yards, and we're going to the playoffs. Meanwhile, you're over here doing God knows what. Maybe something was said, and they didn't really like it because they know what the contract situation is. That's speculative. I have no idea. But you had coaches. You had a guy like Stump Mitchell. Stump Mitchell's one of the all-time hard asses. Stump Mitchell's gone. So, I have to believe that the way he's played in 3 years, yeah, maybe there was a point like, hey, enough of this goofy stuff. Get your ass out there and let's get going.
Well,
there might have been stuff like that.
We never
and they
saw,
might not have liked that.
With, like, the levels of frustration, like Stefanski, there was a point in time, I think it was either late second or late first, early second quarter, where they came out of commercial break. And it's just supposed to be the typical cutaway shot of the head coach. Here is two-time coach of the year. And he is furious. We haven't even run a play yet on the series. And he's already mad.
That's as animated as he's been in 5 years.
We didn't see that the first 2 years. So obviously there's a lot more reason to be angrier now. But we've never seen a tough interaction on the sidelines with Stefanski and Deshaun until most recently over the last few weeks. We had not seen that the first 2 years. I wondered, and this was an unintended consequence of giving him the guaranteed money, that first year where he only played, you know, half the season, they thought he was going to be able to play more games. Obviously, the NFL intervened.
He played 6 games each year.
Yeah, and then the second, unfortunately, he goes down with the injury. But I wonder if an unintended consequence of him getting that money is they felt they had to walk on eggshells around him because he was going to have the most power in the organization. And only because he's played so poorly does he have zero power in the organization. But if you think about it, guys of his stature, right, like guys that make the most amount of money and at one point in the league or the highest cap hit, whatever you want to say, they get to dictate, hey, I want that receiver. I want this play in the offense. I want this. I want this. I want this. And now looking at Deshaun Watson, like he doesn't even look capable of being able to demand
exactly.
those things.
And that's what I'm saying. It's common sense. These are there's coaches out there who have common sense. And maybe it was Van Pelt. Maybe it was Stump Mitchell. Maybe it was Bill Callahan, for all we know, is sitting there going, what are we doing here? You're trading for all these different wide receivers. You're trying to do all these different things. Maybe the guy just doesn't have it anymore. Well, we've made a $230 million investment that's guaranteed of it. We can let go of some people, but we can't let go of him right now. And they were obviously, because it's a best laid plan in the wintertime, they were going to let those guys go and keep Deshaun Watson. Well, now 7 weeks into the season, it looks like maybe they should have just held on to those guys and let go of Deshaun Watson. But again, you can't do it, so it's a fruitless effort. So yeah, they probably tried to coddle him a little, and well, coddle him a lot. They made him a captain. Okay, well, who's the one who has to give the pregame speeches? It's the backup quarterback, for crying out loud. They took the C off of Nick Chubb's chest
player.
To do
yeah.
so, by the way, and everybody is going to be emotional in the stadium when Nick Chubb comes back, and then they're going to kick off and they're going to boo the quarterback. Okay. And we're also, in our minds, trying to say that there's addition by subtraction letting go of Amari Cooper. That's going to help out Deshaun Watson. All
right. Well, what Breer said at the start of that clip was,
I don't blame you for trying anything because it is it's a prison sentence, so you got to try something.
When he talked about Bill O'Brien, and one thing that they did over there very early on was tough love, and because they thought he could take it, and he obviously did. played.
Bill O'Brien does not come from a system or has never given me the vibe of fuzzy friendly type
no,
of coach,
no,
right?
No. So I wonder if we're always wondering, like, you bring up sarcastically all the time, is Kevin Stefanski the only coach who needs bad quarterbacks? No, it's not that. I mean, you're being sarcastic to prove a point.
Extremely sarcastic.
But maybe this is the one glaring weakness in Stefanski, and maybe the way that he coaches, not just the players, but his staff, is maybe they don't do that. Maybe tough love is not where he excels at. Maybe he needs other guys like Callahan.
History would show you are right.
Who's working with an offensive line. What did we hear from Wyatt Teller on the way out for Bill Callahan? Like, yeah, it actually wasn't much fun to play for him.
This is the same team that 2 years ago let it come to blows almost after a game with Jadeveon Clowney and then left him on the roster for 6 more weeks. So you are not wrong about that.
And we love Kevin. It's not been a good year, obviously.
Yeah.
He hasn't coached very good at all this year. We've seen him coach really well.
Voice cracks, I love Kevin.
But this has been a fly in the ointment maybe of the Kevin Stefanski era, is that maybe he's not equipped. Forget about X's and O's and the actual diagramming of plays. He can do all that with his eyes closed, with his hands tied behind his back. Maybe it's the way that he manages. Because we've had those blow-ups, whether it was Odell Beckham and what was going on behind the scenes there. Maybe it was, like you just said, but we've with Jevy and Clowney stuff, we've had those issues, and maybe that's where our coach falls short.
We've said it so many times before. He's a manager. You need it's an emotional game, and you need emotional leadership from the leaders in the locker room who are on the team. And if they can't get it from the prime position, you are still going to have a problem with that. You can't do it. Miles can give all the speeches he wants, and I'm glad to hear that he is. He's still got to have that guy on offense lead it, and they're going to have problems if they don't. And he can't back up with the play to lead any of that right now because he's played terribly, historically bad.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.